with Mark, Sonia and I went to hear him. We did not know anything about him. We found him really word-based, very prophetic. He more or less, at times, he spoke to people before they came to him about their sicknesses. He told them what was wrong with them. And they were touched by God. We were touched by him. He's gospel-based and is a man that walks in the Spirit. Let me just pray before I share my testimony, because Father, I just pray that your Spirit would just assist me as I share my story. May you be exalted, O God. You are not exalted by exaggeration, you are exalted by truth. So Father, help me and remind me of all the truths that you have shown me through your word and also manifested in my life. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I was born in Malta, which is a small island in the Mediterranean. I grew up in practicing the Catholic faith. And we used to go to church as a family. And at the time, the service used to be done in Latin. And I don't know, perhaps some of you are aware of that. And we used to pray at home. We used to say the rosary. And we used to say that in Latin, not understanding a word. Having said that, there was something in my heart that wanted to know God, even as a kid. I used to think, God, are you there? I want to know you, even as a little child. As a matter of fact, when I was a little kid, I used to tell my parents I wanted to become a priest. And of course, that wish has been fulfilled. I am a priest. We're all priests, yeah? Yeah? So anyway, in 67, we migrated to Australia. And we continued practicing the Catholic faith without the word, without the Bible. And that's the tragedy with a lot of Catholic people. And I say this respectfully, is they don't read the word. How can you grow in the faith unless you read the word? So we used to walk a few kilometers to church, even in the rain and in the heat of the day. We used to go to church. But something really troubled me in our family is that every time we went to church and returned home for Sunday lunch, there will always be terrible conflict in the family. This went on week after week, and it troubled me. I used to think, gosh, we go to church, we go supposed to meet God and hear from him, and every time we go home, we end up fighting and arguing. And it troubled me. Even in my school days, it used to concern me. So when I started work, I told my parents, Mom, I don't want to be a Catholic anymore. I don't want to go to church anymore. She was disappointed, but she allowed me to have that responsibility. And I was working in the film and theater business in that time. And I got introduced to New Age philosophy and teaching. I was interested in the mysticism and esoteric teaching. I was reading books from Lobsang Rampa, who was a Tibetan monk, and all sorts of books. I read many books, and I really got involved in it. I did transcendental meditation, and I actually used to go and share with people about New Age. That's how entrenched I was in it. Anyway, one time I was on a cruise, and I met some people. I met three people who were from Melbourne. And at the end of the cruise, they said, Ed, why don't you come down to Melbourne and stay with us? And I thought, oh, what the heck, I've never been to Melbourne. So I went to Melbourne. One of the people told me that they would put me up. But when I got there, they said to me, oh, Ed, you've got nowhere to stay. And I thought, wow, you've invited me to come to your city, and yet I've got nowhere to stay. But one of the girls said to me, I've got an auntie who's a Christian. She would allow you to stay with her, and she had four kids and so forth. So anyway, I thought, well, I better take this deal. I'll stay with this family. And honestly, it was the first time that I experienced Christian love. I got into her house, And I could sense the presence of God. And I said to her, there's something in your house. And she says, what do you mean? I said, look, I'm kind of sensitive to things, but I feel a presence in your house. She says, is it good? I said, yeah. I said, it's very good. And I remember going to the bathroom, and she had all these scriptures on the wall. And I thought, wow, what is all that? I never came across the words, or I was intrigued. I was reading everything. She had kitchen cupboards. All the kitchen cupboards were covered in scripture. So anyway, the first morning that I woke up in this Christian family, the woman made me breakfast. Her name was Caroline. And this is God's sense of humor, eh? This woman was half South African and half Maltese, which is perhaps one of the rarest combinations, and I'm married to a South African. Perhaps one of the kindest persons I've ever met. She sat me down at the breakfast table and went through the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I sat and listened politely, and I thought, oh, you know. She went through the whole thing. She explained God's plan for salvation and mankind and for myself, and she told me how much Jesus loved me. And I kind of paused. I said, you know, this is all nice, but it's not for me. I said, I'm a New Ager myself. I practice New Age and I meditate. And also, I subscribe to reincarnation. And she said to me one thing. This is why scripture is so important, to share the word of God with people. She quoted me Hebrews 9:27. She said to me, man is destined to die once and then face judgment. I found myself terrified at that word. I thought, wow, what if I am wrong? What if it's only one life and then I face judgment? So I didn't tell her that I was alarmed by this. I thought I'd be polite and continue to be friendly towards her. After all, I was a guest in her house. And I used to go out with my friends and so forth. And I'd come home at night, late at night, and she would put her head outside her bedroom window. She goes, hey, Eddie, you know Jesus loves you? And I used to say, oh, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Every day she would tell me how much Jesus loved me. Anyway, I stayed there for the 2 weeks, and I said to her, look, Caroline, I said, thank you for your hospitality, but my time has come for me to return to Sydney. And she said, Ed, it's no accident that you came to my house. I said, what's that mean? She said, well, my neighbor and I have been praying and fasting for you. I said, yeah. She says, the Lord told me that you are to stay another 3 days and 3 nights. I said, really? I said, you talked to God and he told you that? She says, yeah. I said, I said, I won't stay another 3 days and 3 nights. I need to go back to work. So I said, do you mind if I call the airport? In those days, in the 80s, you had to confirm your flight. You had to ring the airport and confirm your flight for your boarding. So I rang Tullamarine Airport. And I said to him, oh, I'd like to confirm my flight to Sydney. And the guy on the other end says, sorry, mate, all flights to Sydney have been cancelled. He says, there is a fireman strike and no flights are permitted to Sydney. I was horrified. I thought, this woman has jinxed me. I got myself into a cult and I'm going to be stuck here. And I went, oh. How could this happen? I said to her, how could this happen? She says, I told you. God told me to tell you that you must stay in our house another 3 days and 3 nights. So I submitted to that. And I thanked her for allowing me to stay. But then in those 3 days, things started to change. Every time she would mention the name of Jesus, I would feel a physical pain in my heart. Every time she would say to me, Jesus loves you, it was like a sword coming into my heart. Total physical pain. And I thought, oh. And I thought, am I having a nervous breakdown? What is going on? Every time I hear the name, I feel the pain. And she would say it again. She says, what, Jesus? And I would feel, oh, just the pain, the extreme pain in my heart. I would go to bed all night. I would hear, man is destined to die once and then face judgment. Just that scripture, Hebrews 9:27. That's all I would hear, day and night. Anyway, at the end of the 3 days, she says, Ed, what do you think? I said, it doesn't look like I have a choice. She says, you want to give your life to the Lord? I said, I think I better. So... So I remember sitting on the edge of the bed and I prayed the sinner's prayer. Nothing dramatic really happened. I just said the prayer and I went to bed. And then the following evening, I had to catch a plane to Canberra because there were still no flights to Sydney. So I caught a plane to Canberra and there was a bus that would take me to Sydney. And I was the first one on the bus. This was about 8 o'clock. It was dark. And I got on the bus. I thought, the last thing I want to do is miss this bus going to Sydney. So I was the only person on the bus. I sat on the bus. And for the first time, I started talking to God. I looked towards the heavens and I said, Lord, I don't know what I've just done, but what could you possibly want with somebody as insignificant as I am an ant, and what could you possibly want with me? And during that moment, this guy gets on the bus is empty, and he sits next to me. And I'm kind of, I could see the reflection because it was nighttime. He opened up his briefcase, and he gets a Bible out. And I went, God, not another one. He says, what's up, mate? What's up? I said, oh, you'd not believe what just happened to me. And he says, really? How interesting. And he shared with me the gospel all the way from Canberra to Sydney. This guy was also a South African. I ended up going to his church, which was a Pentecostal church, but sadly they didn't explain much to me. They didn't explain to me speaking in tongues and baptism or anything like that. I was a little bit nervous. I used to go to Bible study and I used to think, wow, these guys are a little bit strange, you know. So anyway, they loved me, these guys. But before I knew it, I found myself getting entangled in the world again. I thought, oh, I'll become a Christian and I'll be a Christian on my own. And I thought, I'll read the Bible for myself and grow as a Christian on my own. Folks, it cannot happen. You cannot grow as a Christian without fellowship, without being challenged and encouraged in the faith. So anyway, I ended up falling into sin. I ended up living with my girlfriend. I had a girlfriend at the time. I wasn't going to share this, but I think it's important that I do. Because, you know, you cannot be a Christian and one foot in the faith and one foot in the world. For one thing, the first thing I lost was my peace. When you start walking in rebellion against God and His Word, the first thing that you lose is your peace. And I started to feel very uneasy in this relationship. So there was a time where she had to go overseas for a holiday and I was at home. And when I was at home by myself, I sensed God pursuing me, saying, come to me, Eddie. Come to me. I would drive past the church and I would want to run into it. I had a friend at that time who was a Pentecostal. He was my hairdresser. I said, his name was Elvis. He was an Assyrian guy. He says, why don't you come to my church? I said, okay. I walked into his church and I felt the presence of God. And I started to weep and weep. I fell on my knees. I realized that I've caused God so much pain with my rebellion. And I would weep uncontrollably. I think, why am I crying? I would sense my sin and I would feel so dirty. And I think, wow, I had a shower before I came here, yet I feel so dirty in the presence of God. And I would weep throughout the whole service. Anyway, then my girlfriend came back from overseas and she said to me, oh, I said, look, I want us to dedicate our lives to God. She says, no, that's not for me. You go and do that. So I used to go to church and I'd come home and she would mock me. She would say, and what did your God say? And I would try to tell her and mock the whole thing. Then something else happened. We had a child together. And then she said to me, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. I'm going to go back to my country and I want to raise my child on my own. I was devastated, totally gutted. And I remember being at home, caught in my pain of grief and loss. And I started to plan to terminate my own life. I started to plan to take my life, the table, the chair, and the rope in the backyard. I thought, I've lost everything. But before doing that, God was still at work in my heart. I thought, I must apologize to God for doing such a thing. And I got on my knees and I asked God. I tried to speak, but I couldn't. I said, God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. For the first time in my life, God spoke to me and he says, I will heal your heart, Eddie. I will heal you. I will heal your heart. And I climbed into bed and I fell asleep. And in the morning, I went down, opened my Bible to Psalm 34, and it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I thought, yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. Then my life started to change. I wanted to be baptized in water, which was an amazing experience. I got baptized in water, and I went home. And everyone told me you will receive the Holy Spirit. And as I am on my knees, the glory of God filled the whole house. His presence was just the most intense. And I thought I was going to die. I really did. I thought I was going to die because the presence of God. No one told me about the presence. I had no theology. And I started speaking in tongues and I started to get revelation and prophesy. But the presence of God was so heavy that I thought I was going to die. And all he was doing to me was healing my heart. He was pouring waves and waves and waves of his love into my heart. Then my life totally became changed and transformed. I really understood what it means to be born again. And from then on, my life was totally, totally given to him and making him known, making Jesus Christ known. And that's my calling, is to make him known, how good he has been to me. And in the same way, he is good to you. I'll just leave it at that, yeah?